Blog Talk Radio.
Real gon' recognize, real gon' recognize, real gon' recognize, real, real phony gon' recognize, still, still, reckon I will.
Like we always do with this time, I go for mine, I get the shine, now throw your hands up in the sky.
Tonight. First thing I want to mention is the president signs an extension of unemployment, emergency unemployment benefits. The president signs a 6-month extension of emergency unemployment benefits. That's one of the main things on the agenda today that we're going to go over because we had a fit about it last week. So we're going to talk about it again this week, just briefly. But more importantly, what we've been building the buzz on about the show this week is race relations. As you all know, last week I had a chance to go to Wilson, North Carolina with shout out to the Frederick Douglass Foundation. Went over with founder and chairman Timothy Johnson and the president of the Frederick Douglass Foundation in North Carolina, Kevin Daniels. And I actually went with them. We all drove to my hometown, which is Wilson, North Carolina. And it was quite the experience. It was definitely quite the experience. I expected more folks to turn out. There were a few folks in the house, but also expected more folks to turn out for such a, what I would call such a lavish event, such a meaningful event, to say the least. So also I want to give a shout out to Estelle Newton is her name. This is the lady who put this together. She also has a blog talk show. I don't know if you guys want to research that. I believe it's the SBNA network or something of that matter. Pardon me if I got that wrong, Miss Estelle, but very, very intelligent woman, very bright woman. She really put something special together, and I feel like we will be able to overcome some boundaries. If we all step into the correct realm of the situation of race, we got to attack this thing so we can pay attention to what's really going on today and educate our youth, also educate ourselves into prosperity. Another thing we're going to talk about today is President Obama and the job he's done thus far. I'm really curious to know what everybody feels like the president has done thus far. He made a lot of promises during his run, and some things have changed, some things haven't changed. I don't know what's different at this point. I don't know. So we'll see what we can do. We'll see what we're going to talk about. We're going to try to make this thing happen. All right, we're going to get the show on the road. First and foremost, I want to go over the history of race relations. The true history of race relations. You got to understand that this thing has been going on for quite a very long time. Very, very long time. And when I say this thing, I'm talking about this race thing, this race barrier, this thing that we have to tackle, something that we face every day in some of our lives. And I think it's, at this point, I think it's utterly ridiculous. Probably something that we shouldn't be facing any longer. I feel like we should be over this thing. I mean, at the same time, I realized that some people who felt that the way that they felt growing up or the way that they were taught, I realized that they're still around and they still believe the same things and they breed their hate and teach their hate into their children. I don't know. Is it a lot of white people that I know say, a lot of white friends that I have say, hey man, black people are just as racist as white people. A lot of black people I know, they think all white people are racist. I hope I said that right. Black people, some black people I know say all white people are racist. In my opinion, I don't know, I'm going to let you guys tell it. But we're going to talk about that some more, unemployment, President Obama, the state of the economy. Before we even go into all of that or any stats, or I start reading this information off, I want to give a special shout out to any of the troops, anyone who fought or served in Uncle Sam's Army and the Armed Forces, Armed Services. I don't care if you were National Guard. I don't care if you picked up a shovel during Katrina to help out. But I want to give a special shout out to those guys who are fighting abroad, and I know you all agree that they're doing a wonderful and a terrific job out there, despite whether they believe they should be there or not. I definitely want to say they're doing a terrific job, and I want to give a shout out to all the troops who fought, and a moment of silence to the ones who passed today or passed on before. All right. Back into the swing of things. Let's say the history of interracial dating. Let's go with that. If you look at today, there's a lot of celebrities that really put it out there that they desire to date an opposite race, or they choose to date an opposite race, or the opposite race is what they what their specialty is, what they like the most. They really don't want to be with their same race for whatever reason, and I don't know what that's about. All I can tell you is that it's a shame for anyone who don't feel like they can be loved by their own race, or feel like they love their own race, or this, that, and the third. I don't know. There's a lot of celebrities doing this thing, and there's a lot of individuals who are doing this thing, and in my book, Love is Love, I don't think there's any particular value that you should put on someone's race when compared to their love. And what I mean by that is, if you love someone who's of the same race, who's Indian, whose religion is Muslim, whose religion is Buddhist, Christian, Holiness, Baptist, whatever, you can name them all in the world, I don't think that the value of that love is any different from the one who practices the same religion or someone of your same race. Now, a lot of people are going to agree with that. And I don't want, when you guys call in, I don't want you to agree with me. Like, if you feel like you can be loved better by a black man, if you're a black woman, and you feel like a black man can appreciate you better, I want you to say so. Because the name of the show is Keeping It Real with Pudgy, not Sugarcoating with Pudgy, because I'm definitely going to keep it real with you. I got to stop trying to sip water in between talking to you guys. It's crazy. Shout out to President Obama. President Obama signed a six-month extension of emergency jobless benefits for the long-term unemployed on Thursday. By doing this, he restored aid to nearly 3 million people whose checks have already been cut off since June, or whose check will be cut off. The White House signing ceremony became like 3 hours after the House approved the $34 billion measure on a vote of 272 to 152. 272 to 152. I'm curious to wonder. I think everybody realizes that this is truly something the company needs. You may didn't agree with the bailout. Maybe you didn't agree with the stimulus package. Maybe you didn't agree with healthcare. But I do believe that everyone, 100% of the people, at least 99%, you always got one butthole. But I think everyone, for the most part, believes that we needed this extension of funds in some respect. The Senate passed the measure Wednesday after a month-long stalemate. President Obama had this to say. He said Americans who are fighting to find a good job and support their families will finally get the support they need to back on their feet during these tough economic situations. He said in a statement, he also called on Congress to swiftly approve the additional measures to create jobs and bolster the sluggish recovery. Also included in the package is a small benefit. See, here's the thing. Let me read this off. Also included in the package of small business incentives that were faced with a battery GOP objectives in the Senate late Thursday. Here's the thing. with every bill that's passed or everything that we need done or everything that we need passed, there's always some BS on the backside of things. There's always something else that goes on or something else that has to be passed or something else that has to be approved. Why can't they go to the table and clearly say, hey, we need this unemployment compensation because, hey, the people who have worked, let's be clear, unemployment is not welfare. Let me be clear to a lot of people who believe that. Unemployment is not welfare. And for the folks who are on welfare and who may be on this call, more power to you. I understand your struggles. Been there, done that. Out of that, don't need that, so I don't do this. But if I ever get in a situation where I need that, guess what? I'll go back there. At the same time, I'll be on my game. I'll keep looking. I'll keep striving to not be on that welfare because I understand that much welfare in this country can also bring the country down in some respects. And what I mean by that is people who don't need welfare, who get welfare, while you don't see the big picture right now, it takes away from somebody else's pocket. Have you ever heard two people talking who really needs welfare, who's trying to get assistance, and then want to go, well, man, you know what? I even had employees come to me and say, man, T, you know what? It's so tough, man, because I really need these benefits and I can't get them. They put me through this trouble, that trouble, and this trouble. And because I make this much money or I have this much or I have a boat or I have a car or something, they're telling me I'm over the limit or I'm over the amount as if I don't need this welfare. Hey, listen, this is what happens when you have people on a system who don't need it or who don't deserve it. They make it hard for everybody. If they make it hard for everybody, everybody will be able to get it. So to you out there who need it, go try to get it. They might make it hard for you. Keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. But back to the, I'm sorry, I go off in a rant every once in a while, man, because I start feeling a certain way. Because I had these two people talking, and I'm not going to say their name at this point. I know we're keeping it real with Pudgy, but I'm going to keep it real, man, just because of this of respect factor. But I heard these two people talking, and the elder gentleman told the younger gentleman, hey, you don't need to sign up. You don't need to sign up. Go find you another job. If you can't find another job, go sweep some floors or mop some floors or something he was trying to tell the young man because you don't need to do this. You signing up for unemployment is going to bring this country down. And the kid was only saying, look, man, I work for that money. I feel like I deserve it until I can find another job. And I agree. That's what unemployment compensation is for. If you don't have a job and you had a job and you put money into the system, you should be able to get money off the system. That's your money. That's money you paid in. That's what the unemployment plan is for. Furthermore, if I needed it, I'm going to get mine. Straight up and down. Caller, let's see what we got. Let me go to the lines real quick, man. Well, I need to get something to drink. See what's going on with the lines. The lines are buzzing and lit up. Let's see here. 944, you are on the line. Who is this?
Hello?
944, you're on the line. Who is this?
Hi, this is Shanice, and I'm calling from Greensboro.
Hello, can't hear you.
Hey.
Okay, I went to the line too early in the morning. We're going to move right along because, like me, I really don't have time to go to the line at this point. The history of interracial dating. 1958, let me educate you on this thing for a minute. I'm sure a lot of you guys already know, but in 1958, Loving versus Virginia. The white man, Richard Loving, and the black woman, Mildred Jeter, they got married. Man, woman, feeling each other. Hey, baby, you cute. You look out yourself. I don't know what they were saying back then in 58. You dress right fancy, you look right proper, or something like that. I know it's a whole lot different from what we're hearing today. When two people saying, hey, Shawty, let me holler at you, and yeah, you look very cute, and what kind of party you are. But anyway, that's a whole other topic. 1958, Loving versus Virginia, Richard Loving, Mildred Jeter. In 1961, Virginia banned interracial marriages. They banned interracial marriages. And we're not even talking about long ago, folks, but they banned interracial marriages. Okay. Miss Jeter and Mr. Loving, they returned to Virginia after being married in D.C. and were prosecuted under a statute from the 1924 entitlement. And that entitlement was called please write this down because I want y'all to research this when I get ready to say this. I want you to research it. I'm going to give you a few key points, and then I'm going to go to the line. But that entitlement was called an act to preserve racial integrity. An act to preserve racial integrity. Here's the first point of that act. White men and white women can only marry white men and white women. Oh, a white man can only marry a white woman. A white woman can only marry white men. Point blank period. The only thing different than that is throw you in jail. This is we're talking about 1961, folks. Number two, it was a crime to marry or enter the state married as an interracial couple in Virginia in 1961. Okay, you follow me? Number three, the law stated, and now this is the one, I'm going to stop after this one and then we're going to go to the lines, but the law stated that mixed children were illegitimate and without rights of lawfully married children. This is a law, folks. This was a law. We are going back in time. I'm just talking about the education of it. The law stated that mixed children were illegitimate and without rights, the same rights of lawfully married children. 252-668. You on the line. Who is this?
Yo, Poet. What's good, Pudgy?
You on the line. Who is this?
Yo, this is Intense. Peace. Yo.
Okay, I don't know if it's the feed, the RSS feed, or I don't know what's going on, but I'm not getting any callers, yo. If you want to try to get this to fix real quick. We're going to go to a commercial real quick, folks, while you guys try to fix this. Wide awake, this is your party. Check it out.
Are you home for the holidays or looking for something to get into? Well, let's party. DJ and Franco, party kings from Wide Awake, are added on D. That's right, this time in Wide Awake on December 25th. Wilson, Rock City, G-Bay, what about Goldsboro? Y'all,
this train called all the way from Wide Awake, folks. I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I want to also invite you all to come out and party with me and my partner Franco on December 25th from 10 to 3 at the Hills Restaurant located on Highway 301 in Wilson. It's going down major, very grown, very sexy.
Back with you, people, trying to get some things taken care of. I guess the RSS feed was messed up. We got this popping, though. I get to do this thing. The problem, what's going on this time, I get to do this thing from my home state, man. I'm doing it for North Carolina, trying to save some trouble from going all the way to D.C. back and forth to make this thing happen every week. It's looking, though, as I might have to, but I think they got everything taken care of now. I'm hearing that my sound is better. The call lines are lit up. We got everything popping and going on. I'm going to go back to the first caller. I'm sorry, let me go back to the last caller. I apologize. 668, who's this?
Peace, what's up, Puzz? Just in test, this low poet, straight out of Wide Awake, North Carolina. What's good with you?
What's going on, baby? Good to hear from you.
Yeah. It's a lot of issues you covered. You know what I mean? One of them that stuck out was like the unemployment.
Definitely.
You know, I've been running with it for a few months now. But the whole point is, I mean, if I'm getting like $400 a week, you know, when I do find a job, it's going to pay me, you know what I mean, it's going to pay me way less than that.
Right.
I prefer to continue to ride a horse until, you know what I mean, so I can get something to at least to hold it down like the unemployment I'm getting.
I understand, you know, that. I mean, that's something that you don't hear about much. Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm just saying that. Well, I mean, regardless of whether, you know, that's politically correct or whatever, that's what hold it down for me, you know what I mean?
Well, you know what, yo, it's like this, bro. For real, since it's keeping it real with Pudgy, we're going to keep it all the way 100. You don't hear, Washington is not talking about that aspect of unemployment. They're not talking about the people who are on unemployment and can't get back to not even halfway or 75% of the way of obtaining the money that they were making. So they choose not to take the job, and that's your damn right.
Right.
You know, that's your right. Yeah. And whether that's political, moral, I think that's morally correct. I don't feel like you should have to take a job when you already, you're not making the money that you were making while you're on unemployment, and then you get a job where McDonald's want to pay you just above minimum wage at probably 20 hours a week, which underweighs your unemployment compensations. Why should you take that job?
Right, right. You know, but on the whole process, they do ask you the questions, you know, how you look for work. You know, they like have you turn down any jobs. You know, that's a big issue.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you do turn down work or what have you. So, you know, that's the whole point where it kind of ride the line real tight, whether
sure.
or not, you know, everything is 100 with my situation.
No doubt. Definitely
understand that. But I definitely respect the radio show. You know, I know you come through every Wednesday on the Yo Mama Jokes. You know what I mean? So I definitely had to come and see about you. You know what I mean?
I appreciate that. Yo, if y'all don't know, for everybody who's online, yo, brother, I think what you do on Wednesday, this is way off topic for all the callers, for all the listeners and all the viewers or what may have you, but this brother does a beautiful thing on his Facebook page, man. And when I first saw this, I thought, man, I said, man, this is ingenious right here, man, because if you're having a bad day, and I think actually I was having a bad day or an overwhelming day when I saw your post, you know, I saw your mama jokes. And I'm bugging off this, man. So I clicked on his page, man, and it was like 200 people on this man's Facebook page telling your mama jokes back and forth to each other, and no one was offended, and everybody was having a good time. I don't know if you mind, Slow. I don't know if you mind, brother, but I want you to give the listeners and give the callers your Facebook address. I don't know if you want to make another one just for the Wednesday joint that you do. You know, I think this will uplift someone else if you want to, you know, give them the information real quick.
Well, basically, it's my government, you know, Roy S. Fell Jr. So if you pull that up or what have you, then you can get up on that on Wednesdays. But, yeah, it just consists of a lot of people who keep it going. It just so happened to be on my spot. But, yeah, we definitely be wilding out, you know what I mean, on my spare time.
No doubt. Yeah. Hey, listen, I want to Yeah, no doubt, man. You know, I'm always destined to show love to everybody, man. This is a wide awake thing. It's a global grind. It's definitely a global grind that's going on. I got flags on this thing from all over the world right now. But I also do my 252-919-910-336, folks, all day long. So it's always
right,
love.
Right.
So good talking to you, my brother.
I don't want to hold you up, but, you know, the whole situation, the interracial relationships, I really think that's really on a deep level. In order for people to go through the scrutiny they go through, I think it's real big for two people to overlook all of that and walk the earth with, you know, all types of judgments or what have you. You know what I mean? Have the kids, you know, all the kids looking like Mariah Carey. But, you know, but it is. You know what I mean? But, you know, I respect all of that. I appreciate your time. All right, bro?
All right, brother. Good talking to you.
All right. Peace.
Peace.
Interracial relationships, we're also talking about economics, we're talking about the unemployment situation. There's a bunch of things that we're talking about that I feel are dear to the people. I feel like it's something that we all go through, something that we all face. In a lot of environments, you can't really talk about this thing like you want to. You can't really keep it 100 because guess what? Employees are going to look at you wrong. Your friends are going to look at you different because I might say, man, look at that chick with that white dude. What you doing with him? Yeah, I said it. I might say, look at that chick with that white dude. What you doing with him? But guess what? If I'm saying that, I'm talking about that white dude over there with the brown slippers on, with the orange hat, with the blase, that one, in a room full of white guys. You understand what I'm saying with that? So we got to get to the point where, in other words, I think that we should get to the point where we feel comfortable
I think we should get to the point where we feel comfortable saying, hey, that white guy over there, or hey, that black dude over there. People are afraid as hell to give a description by saying, hey, that white guy, or hey, that black guy over there. I don't know what the problem with saying, hey, that black guy, hey, that white guy. That white guy know he's a white guy. And I'm a black man. I know I'm a black man or a black guy. There's no issue with someone pointing that out and describing me. So I think we need to get to the point where we can, put that out there to people and it not be a problem. Let me go to another call in the 252, man. I'm sorry. Let me go to the 336. Caller, you on the line? Who's this?
This is Shanice calling from Greensboro.
Hot dog. What's up, Shanice?
What's up, Pudgy?
What's up with your girl?
Not much. I was just calling to support you, and I love it. This is my first week tuning in, but I really love the show, and you know you got me for the next few weeks and every Sunday or whatever.
I hope we got you. Love is love. I hope we
got
you. Yeah,
you know what the deal is, you know. Wide awake all day, baby.
All day, baby. Listen, as outspoken as you are, and I happen to...
Oh, God, now you about to put me on blast.
Hey, listen, I'm going to put you on blast because it's keeping it real with Pudgy tonight. So how do you feel? I mean, truthfully now, I mean, you got to dig deep for this thing, man. And I know you have a genuine love for people in general. But how do you feel when you see, let's say, let me move on a little bit. Let's say a successful black man and a white woman in general. Not knowing who she is or what may have you, just a white woman. How do you feel when you see that? Is there anything in you that make you ask the question, why are they together?
No. Now, honestly, a few years back, probably yes, but now that I'm older and wiser, and like you said in your earlier comments, if two people are in love, I feel like the race doesn't play, you know what I'm saying, a part in that. So, I mean, if they're together, then I feel like they're together for a reason, and race shouldn't play a part in that.
Right. I can dig that. I can definitely dig that. It should be a love thing that's going on, but a lot of times it's not a love thing, and that's what goes on. That's what goes through the mind of different people.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you another question. Then vice versa, if you see, because today it's not always a white woman and a black man. See, it used to be always a white woman and a black man, and then you would hear all these black women saying, "Hey, oh, they're taking all our good men. Lord Jesus, taking all our good men."
Weekends and it's all different types now.
Okay, but the game is flipped. I'm beginning to see more black women with white men.
You're right.
I'm all over the country all the time. But I don't know if... Do you see this very often, and how do you feel about that?
Well, like I said, like me personally, I've never dated outside of my race. But like I said, like maybe when I was in high school or growing up as a young adult trying to find myself, like honestly, when I would see like interracial couples, I'm like, oh, wow, why is he with her? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like I have people that, you know, I have like white friends. I have Hispanic friends. I have different, you know, race groups or whatever. And I'm not trying to be funny. They never date within their race. They date black men. They date other races, and like I said, it doesn't bother me, long as I feel like they love each other and they're doing it for the right reasons and not for like money, or you get what I'm saying? Like that's no problem to me. I can dig that, long as it's out of love.
No doubt.
But
you
like
say
I
you
said,
never...
now, and I honestly, some years ago, it probably would have bothered me, because I'm like, ooh, I mean, you know, but hey, I feel like love is love. It shouldn't have, you know, it shouldn't have a race of gender or creed or whatever. I mean, it is what it is.
Okay, I'm curious though.
You can't stop it.
No, you can't stop it. No one should stop it. No one should want to stop it. I mean, it's love is love. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What changed your mind, though? You said something a few years ago. You felt different, but what changed your mind now?
I think two reasons. One, I just got older and I got wiser. You know what I'm saying? That was a person thinking of a child's mind, I shall say. You get what I'm saying? But as I got older and I got wiser and I started interacting with girls outside of my race, because I mean, I've always had like black friends, my trunk, you know. And so as I got older and start being around different cultures, and I'm like, oh, wow, you know what I'm saying? They just like me. They skin just different. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they like the same type of music. They same clothes. I mean, they just like me. It's just, like I said, they was probably raised differently or their skin is different than mine. So it just made me look, you know what I'm saying, in a broader point, like, well, you know what? They cool. If they want to date a black chick, or they want to date a Hispanic dude, or they want to date, you know what I'm saying, a white dude, a Caucasian, I'm fine with that. Like I said, because I have all my friends are not black now. And I think that's why I just look differently on the issue, because I have friends outside of my race.
Wow. You know what? I think, thanks for your call, Shanice. I'm going to move right along. Time is moving.
Okay, baby.
One love.
No, start one of.
So I think you know, listening to Shanice's comments and just thinking about what I've seen and what I've been privy to. I'm gonna say this real quick before we go into the birthday, bro. I want to say this real quick, and I want folks to think about it. Personally, I think a lot of the experience we have. I'm sorry. First of all, I think a lot of the feelings that we have towards what we feel when we see interracial couples, or what we once felt growing up when we saw interracial couples, or maybe we liked a white girl as you know, young black boys or young white girls. Maybe you liked a black dude, or vice versa, or whatever. I think a lot of what we felt was what we were accustomed to. And you can't blame that on anybody. Or can you? We'll be right back. Going into the birthday roll. Check it out.
Go, Shawty. It's your birthday. Go, Shawty. It's your birthday. Go, Shawty. It's your birthday. We go, Shawty. It's your birthday. We going to party like it's your birthday.
Yeah. Man, I hear that beat. I almost feel like going in. Yeah, Pete Rip. Nah, I'm not even gonna do it. Feels good though, but check this out. We're gonna take this moment to wish everybody on my friends list, or everybody who hit me up, an absolutely stunning birthday. Or anybody who has a birthday this week, I try my best to hit everybody up and tell them happy birthday and let them know I'm gonna shout them out on the show. But if not, this is for you. This is for everybody else. Maybe you know these people and you missed their birthday. Maybe this will make you hit them up and wish them a happy birthday. But anyway, here's the list. Check it out. Chris Body, Ashley Hyman, James Body, Fox Restaurante, Alexis Patterson. Happy birthday to you all on today. You all, I wish you all a very happy, special birthday. And I hope you're doing something to celebrate it. Remember, one day at a time, and today is your day. Also, birthdays this week, it's my man MC Kareem Walton, Toby Hash, shout out to you, Jessica Yelverton, Serena Serrano, shout out to you, baby, Samora Inez Duff, Chad Dexter, you can know him as Chad West, shout out to my man over there in Philly, Rockefeller, you know, shout out also to my girl Francesca McDuffie, also man Bowens, Leticia Chantel, Lee Batchelor, Jasmine Robinson, Alton Mitchell, shout out to you, homie. Tabitha Savage, shout out to you, baby. Marcus Mitchell, a.k.a. Kel, shout out to you, homeboy. Champion of the Carolina Music Awards. I'm sorry, the Carolina Music Showcase. 4 or 5 times, I forget what it is. CJ Young, Dirk Ross, shout out to you. Savalas Lawson, shout out to you. Kay Hawkins, Roy Senior, Spell Jr., a.k.a. Slow, Wide Away Wilson Poet. Shout out to you, Slow the Poet. Craig Elmore, Doretha Cake Jones, Edible, Raphael Ayres, Jamal Dickens, shout out to you, homie. Tip Farmer, shout out to you, baby. Tanika Vons Patterson, Sasha K, shout out to all of you. Special birthday tribute to you from Real Hot Records Entertainment and KRRP Radio WMMG. Yeah. Man, it is cold outside. Yes, it is. Y'all also want to give a special shout out to Grandma, Miss Mary Best, coming to you from LaToni King, baby. She say, I love you, Grandma. Happy birthday. Yo, you got to love it, man. I hope one day I'm old enough to experience that. One of my grandkids, or I hope one of my great grandkids. I want to live a long time as long as I'm healthy. God bless. And I want to live a long time to be healthy enough to, you know, to get those happy birthdays from my great great grands or my great grands. Birthdays are a beautiful thing, man. Like I said before, they only come around one time a year, folks. So you better enjoy it when they come. Know what I mean? Don't sit there and be all grumpy and upset. Man, I'm hitting the microphone. I'm sorry, folks. But don't be all grumpy and upset on your day. That's the day you were birthed. A lot of people don't really celebrate birthdays. And once upon a time, I didn't really. I wasn't real big on them. I was just like, you know, it's my birthday. Let's do something or let's not do something, you know, whatever. I did celebrate my big 30 down there in Wide Awake, though. They couldn't stop the party. They tried to. Anyway, moving right along. We were talking about interracial relationships. right before the break. So I'm going to go back to another two. Lord have mercy, the lines are lit up. We're looking like 500 people right now, baby. I love it. That's a beautiful thing. Online only, I know. Also, I got to get that announcement. I'm sorry. 16,000 viewers. I'm sorry, 16,000 listeners, folks. 16,000 listeners. Let's be clear. The KIRP radio show is on its way. It won't be long, folks, before we move into a bigger network. And while we're on network, we are KIRP radio show. Call letters are new. 101.1 WMMG. We're live. Wilson, North Carolina. I see a 252 caller who wants to say something. 252-289, you are on the line.
What's up, Pete? It's Pam.
Pam, what's up, baby? I know you say you had something to say about this interracial relationship. I saw your comment.
Yes.
You made sure you put
yes,
that.
Yes, yes, yes.
She's like, P, I got something to say about that. We can talk about that thing.
Yes, sir. We got to get it out there. We got to get it in there.
No doubt. Put it in the air. I heard that before. Let's tell it. What's
yes.
on your mind, Ty? What's on your mind, Ty?
Yeah, this is what I was trying to say. You know, with race, it's not a real big issue, but sometimes we're like, we're prone to what our parents have went through. And sometimes they instill into their kids to think that thing. But they be like, you know, they'll say, we don't accept you if you be with this type of person, with a white person or a black person, because they don't approve of it. But
wow.
Then it's like, we don't accept it from our kids, knowing that we can't stop one another from loving each other, or, you know, you can't help who you love or what's going on in between those two.
Right. No doubt.
Love, like you said, love is love.
Love is love, baby.
And if,
God is love.
And if
love
you don't
love.
Know love, then you don't know God.
Oh, Lord. She just said a mouthful of words. Y'all hear that? She said, if you don't know love, you don't know God. That's another topic that we have for January. I'm not even going to get into that, but if you don't know love, you don't know God. Man, that's a big statement. I want y'all to remember that. Put that on your calendars for January, because we already got a show talking about that. But listen, let me ask you this thing. Let's say you got a daughter, right?
Mm-hmm. I got three daughters.
All right. How old is your oldest daughter?
17.
All right. Let's say your daughter, 17 years old, walk in the house on Christmas Day for dinner and say, Mom, I want you to meet somebody, and I'm going to get married, and his name is Todd. And Todd's a white guy, 20-year-old white guy, good-looking dude, well-mannered, come in the house, and it's all love. He's like, how you doing? I want to ask you for your daughter's hand in marriage. How would you feel, honestly speaking?
You know what? I would honestly be like, okay, I would sit down, and I would listen to them too, and I would accept him because of the fact that's who she loves. That's who she is. Feel like that's her soulmate or she's compatible to. As long as
right.
you treat her right, I have no problem with it. You feel me? So, but it's going to be a problem when you step in and you know what I'm saying, and there's some other issues going on, and you out to hurt some, you know, minds, then okay, then we got an issue. But
sure.
other than you just loving her, I don't got no issue.
Wow. That's B.I.G. That's
I mean, that's no problem with me. I mean, I love everybody, you know, and it's just like, I don't care what color you are, you still just like me. We still the same with the creator, both of us. So it's no difference. Instead of we just might got a little more pigment in our skin, that's it.
Right. But do you feel like you could ever fall in love with an Indian descent guy?
I mean, I never know. I never stepped outside the box, you know what I'm saying, to ever, you know what I'm saying, to date someone outside of my race. But I don't feel like, I feel like any man is a man as long as you
right.
can help provide, you know what I'm
right.
saying. We, you know, we down, we doing it together, and we love each other for the right reasons. I mean, it's no problem.
Well, check this out.
I don't see no kind of color in loving.
I know that was a like, in my opinion, I'm always listening to interviews, and I'm watching CNN and talk shows and Fox and all these different stations, and I'm listening to interviews, and that was a stupid question. That was a stupid question, point blank and period, but I had a reason. And here's my reason. I got a guy in the studio who's Indian descent, and he's single. He's single, and I'm just throwing it out there, you know, for anybody who might want to date an Indian descent guy. Hey, I'm just throwing it out there, man. It's It's my man,
I know
John.
That's right.
It's my man, John. It's a good dude, man. He's papered up. He's caked up. He got degrees and all that. He's a sound engineer. This is the man. He got us sounding clear today. He's fixed all our problems. He also fixed WMMG stuff. So we're just trying to see what's good with my man. I'm trying to put him down. So, you know, if anybody who's
Well, maybe if I was single, I would, but... I'm kind of like in a relation with somebody right now. Maybe I would step outside the box, but hey, you never know. It's a new year coming. You never know what happens.
I know. He's over there smiling like, yeah, I'm going to do you like this all night tonight, buddy. All night. You mess with me. Fam, thanks for your call, baby. I'm going to move on.
All right, now.
All right, keep it real with Pudgy. One love. So, Pam had a lot to say, man, and I enjoyed everything about what she said. I couldn't hook up with my homeboy, but maybe somebody else out there might want to, you know, get down with my man. If I told you guys what we call this man, y'all would think I'm a racist, man. Y'all would definitely think I'm a racist, but we call him Taliban. Hey, man, get mad if you want to. That's what we do. That's how we roll. It is what it is. He don't get mad. We don't get mad. It's just a little inside joke that we have. And if I call him that in public, man, you should have saw us in that store that I won't name. That y'all know the store that I'm talking about, right? When you walk in and they always only have two registers running and there's a million people in there, y'all know what I'm talking about. But I went in that store one time and we were getting some fruit, you know, right before we were coming to the studio earlier today. And I was like, yo, Taliban, grab some bread off the aisle while you're down there, man. You should have saw the faces that looked at me. They thought I was crazy. But anyway, let me move right along. But we're talking about interracial relationships. I have another, let's go up top. Let me go to another region. Now, I got a lot of 252s and 336s and a lot of North Carolina on here, but let's go to the 917. 917, you are on the line almost.
Three, this is Anna.
Anna, calling back again. Hot dog. Anna, you are an avid supporter. I love Anna.
But I'm an expert in interracial relationship. As you know, I have a daughter with Don King's son.
Absolutely.
So Don King would be my daughter's grandfather, even though we don't have a relationship with him.
Definitely. I know your time. I know your story. Tell it to the people, Anna. Tell us what makes you an expert on interracial relationships. We want to hear this, Anna.
Well, I have a gorgeous 20-year-old daughter named Natalie, who's therefore Don King's granddaughter, even though we unfortunately don't have a relationship with her father or her grandfather.
And she's gorgeous, fellas. My fault. I'm sorry, Anna. Go ahead. No disrespect.
She's gorgeous. She's in college. She's at Widener University. She's the president of the Black Student Union.
Yes, she is.
And thank God her godfather is a friend of Bill Duke, the filmmaker and actor who's been very, 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 who helped me raise her since she was 3 years old. So for the last 25 years that I, or 30 years that I've been in America, I've always worked, you know, within the African American and Latino community. And in my personal life, I will often be in relationship with known African American men. And as a result of my relationship with Eric King, Natalie was born, and then, you know, we had a very public battle, but I'm very proud of my relationship with my daughter.
Right.
And what I've noticed is that many times when you're in an interracial relationship, in my house, I don't feel like we're defining race relations 400 years of history every day. I don't feel that we should have to redefine history and go over the, you know, it's like, it's too much. I think once you live together and you are happy, and there is things that are more important than the race, which is the spirit, the heart,
right,
how you relate to one another. But I was very adamant for my daughter to learn, and I study constantly African-American history. And so I was very instrumental in making sure she knew more of her history than even, mainstream history. Because I feel... Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. You said you feel. I'm going to let you finish your sentence.
No, no. I feel that it's important. I feel that if we can study history, many mistakes of that we made in race relation in the past, if we all study, maybe we can avoid the same the mistakes and move forward in a different direction.
That's big that you say that you had to you made it a point to study African American history, because I'm gonna tell you the truth, half of the so-called African Americans that I know, well, I'm gonna say the Black Americans. I don't claim no part of Africa. I don't know where my
My daughter always say that. She say, I don't really want to be called African American. I want to be called Black American. She say, I'm an American, I'm Black, and I don't really relate to this term of African American. But, you know, that's another discussion.
Yeah, that's definitely another discussion. But like I was saying, it's funny you say that, because a lot of people don't study the stats. A lot of people don't really know what's going on so far as the stats of the history of themselves. I say I don't call myself African American, but I have traced the gene pool to find out where we all really come from. I mean, all mankind. But anyway, that's a whole nother topic. I don't want to get off on that. Anna, let me ask you this question, right?
Yes.
This is a real blunt question. And can you tell the viewers where you're from and what your racial descent is, please?
Well, I'm a mix of a Jew, Latino, French, and I was born and raised in Africa, in Senegal, Ghana, Congo, Kenya, and in South America.
Right.
And I came to America 30 years ago.
Right. So is it safe to say that you date, or the men that you look towards as an attractive figure is what you grew up seeing?
Oh, absolutely. 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 When the first 7 years of my life, my parents were around, but you know, there was a lot of people working for my father, and they took care of me more than my family. I mean, you know, my parents were like supervised, but they had a big social life, and the people who took care of me primarily were, you know, from which country? Every country we were in, Senegal, in Ghana. Yes, so and in America, I don't know, the men that have approached me have been predominantly, you know, influenced African American men, and I'm like, you know, it's hard to say no to gorgeous men who come. I don't know how to explain it. I think interracial relationship to me are more interesting because it brings far more variety. And
right.
You always discover new things, and you always have an opportunity to talk about more stuff.
Okay, but the good side is cool. Like, I understand the good side of all things. Hell, the good side with any man and their wife, no matter what the race is, are great, and they're good, and they're peachy, and it feels so nice. But what about the bad days, right? Because truly, you can't overcome a thing until you hit the bad days and you hit the bad times of it. Like, a lot of people get in church and then they hit a – and I know this is a whole other topic, but a lot of people come to their God or come to terms with their self in religion. And then when they hit hard times, they revert back to their old ways. So I'm curious to know, maybe not for you, but for some folks who are from a different walk of life, like you were used to being around – I'm going to say African men or Black men or men that look Black or what may have you, people that were different than yourself. So you were used to being around them. But I'm curious to know, once you got mad, deep down inside of you, does that racial slur come out, or has that racial slur ever came out towards you?
No.
I mean, we're keeping it real. Has he ever came out to you and said...
All the time, when they get mad, I become a dumb white bitch. All in a sudden, I was brilliant the day before, the day after. But when they, but me, I don't think it's good to use that, because I think that to me, words are like weapons. And I always taught my daughter, you know, if your mouth was a gun, when you say certain hurtful things, it would be like a bullet, and it can kill people, because if you kill someone's spirit, you do more damage than attacking their physical body, because the physical body will heal, because, you know, we have surgery, all that. But killing someone's spirit, it takes much longer to fix. So words, no, I don't. I try to stay away from all this kind, but but unfortunately, I feel that many times there is a level of frustration due to economic racism. You know, there's not enough jobs in many communities where a lot of young black men are trying to work or study, and it creates a lot of tension. So it's the result. It's not just one thing. It's a coalition of a lot of things.
No doubt. Well, I'm glad you spoke on some of that and you touched on that, because that's something that I'm going to ask the future callers, and that's something that I really want to get out there and talk about. We're going to end up having to do a part two of this, but I want to ask the question. Thanks for calling, Anna. I got to move on, love.
Okay. We love you here in New York.
We love you too, baby. We love New York, baby. New York, we love y'all. Moving along, like I was saying, it's something that I want to ask future callers. I want to know, to people who are involved, I really wanted to ask Anna, how do you feel about that, for your black or different race husband to call you a white blank blank? Because to me, like, and maybe I'm dumb, maybe I'm stupid, and I just don't have my scruples together, but to me, there's no slipping of a word. You understand what I'm saying? There's no pastor who's going to step in this pulpit and accidentally say B-I-T-C-H. Or ass, or something like that, something that doesn't go with his character. There's no white man or woman that's going to say nigger on accident. It's just not true. You can only use the words that are in your vocabulary, folks. You can only use the words that you commonly use or you commonly think. See, there's no such thing as a two-year-old using the word combustible or exploitation or something that they just don't know anything about. You're not going to use the words that you're not comfortable with using, or that are not already in that short span of brain that you have, you know, those short-term words that you use on a regular basis. So if you revert to calling somebody a racial slur, that's something that was already in your heart. So to me, there's no forgiveness for that, and that's the only thing that I wonder about during an interracial relationship. I mean, I don't know. I need to let y'all tell it, you know, but just curious about it. But we are KRRP Radio, WMMG 101.1 in D.C. Got to go to sports, folks. We're going to go to the sports road, and then we're going to come back. We're going to take a couple callers. We got a couple things to give out, a couple gifts. We got a gift card. We got some party tickets and whatnot. Listen to the party tickets. Shout out to my man D-Train and the Party Kings, Franco.
Are you home for the holidays or looking for something to get into? Well, let's party. D-Train and Franco.
Party Kings from Wide Awake by Adidas. That's right, this time in Wide Awake on December 25th. Wilson, Rock City, G-Vegas. What about Goldsboro?
Y'all too. This train called all the way from Wide Awake, Wilson. I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I want to also invite you all to come out and party with me and my partner Franco on December 25th. Heels Restaurant, located on Highway 301 in Wilson. It's going down major, very grown, very sexy.
All right, folks, check it out. We got 2 days of NBA action. We're going to move fast, and we're going to do it quick, and it's going to be all love for all my NBA fans out there, all my ballers, all my sports fans. Here we go. We're going to start the party off right down in Memphis with the Memphis Grizzlies, 84-83 over the Clippers. Zach Randolph, 18 points. Eric Gordon, 25 points for the Clips.
ATL. Hawks 97 over the Indiana Pacers 83. The Hawks' Mr. Crawford leads the way with 25 points. Jamal Crawford is balling, ladies and gentlemen. Al Horford 16 points and 8 rebounds. That young boy ain't bad either. Mike Dunleavy 16 points and 9. We're going to move down to North Carolina. The Bobcats loses another game to the Celtics. 93-62. Celtics Wade Garnett with 11 boards leading the way. Nazee Muhammad 14 points. And Kwame Brown, Mr. NBA traveling man, 9 points as Michael Jordan bring that man back to North Carolina. Michael Jordan, if you listening to me, somebody call up Mike. Tell him to give me a call because we're going to talk about this Kwame Brown thing, man. You're treating Kwame like your son. Where you go, he goes, and he's a bust everywhere he goes. This is my team. I'm from the Carolinas. I hold the Bobcats down. I just want to know what the problem is. Moving right along, Detroit Pistons loses to the Raptors 120-16. The Pistons with the same squad that used to be the Bad Boys. Wallace 14 points. Stuckey drops in 12 in their loss to the Raptors. Moving along to the Chicago Bulls. Hey, y'all remember every Sunday wasn't complete unless the Bulls were playing the Knicks. And Mike used to light up Starks. Yo, that was a squad back then. Let me see if I can name a fella. Hold the sports talk for 1 minute, because I'm having the old school Chicago Bulls moment. I'm talking about Mike, Pippen, Horace Grant, B.J. Armstrong. We talking about Paxson, Cartwright, Luke Longley. Anyway, let's go. Let's move it along. The Chicago Bulls 113 over the Minnesota Timberwolves. I told y'all, somebody call me and tell me who plays for the Timberwolves. Oh, I forgot. Somebody did hit me up. Mr. Kevin Love getting busy for the Timberwolves all by himself in their 113-82 loss. Love had 22 points and 15 rebounds. Ridenour had 8 assists. My man, Rose, 21 points, 7 assists. Y'all watch out for that young man, Rose, for the Chicago Bulls. We're going to speed up the process. The Mavericks, 103 to Jazz, 97. Williams, 34 points for the Jazz. Nowinski, 31 points, 15 rebounds for the Mavericks. The Cleveland Cavaliers, 7-16 without LeBron James. They dropped 95-110 to the Rockets, who were 9-14. Jamison, 24 points. Varshaw, 8 rebounds. My man Williams with 9 assists. Martin scores 40 points for the Rockets. The man is getting busy. Okay, now, to the most talked about, and the hottest team right now in the NBA is a, what am I talking about, folks? Say it with me. That's right. You almost got it. Say it with me. The Miami Heat, 104-83 is the Heat is on a 7-game half. The big three combined for 75 points. Wade with 36, Bosh 17 rebounds, Wade with 6 assists. Carmelo Anthony, a.k.a. Melo the Assassin, my homie, is back in the Denver Nuggets starting lineup today after missing 2 games with an inflamed right knee. Anthony set out in the loss to Boston and Friday's victory over Toronto, but he worked out Saturday and decided, yeah, I'm ready to play after testing himself Sunday morning. Coach George Karl said he determined how long Anthony would stay in the game by the pulse of the game, noting that even before this knee injury, Anthony had struggled a bit with an illness. Now Anthony leads Denver with 22.8 points per game. All right, check it out. NCAA News, who was watching the Heisman Ceremony, folks? Anybody out there watching the Heisman Ceremony? I know you're saying to yourself, I was watching. Oh, I forgot about it. Well, for those of you who don't know, guess who won the Heisman Trophy? It is none other than Mr. Cam Newton from College Park, Georgia. That's up the street from Atlanta for y'all who don't know. College Park, homeboy, College Park savior, Mr. Cam Newton, holding it down. NCAA 2010. I had to say that slow because I'm moving a little bit too fast for some of y'all. But none other than Mr. Cam Newton holding it down for the Auburn Tigers. And here's what Mr. Newton had to say. If you guys want to hear what Mr. Newton had to say, roll him.
The winner is Cam Newton. And all the honor and glory to God, you know, who is the head of my life. And without him right now, you know, we all would not even be here right now. So thank you for that. I also would like to thank my beautiful mother, Jackie Newton, and my father. You know, this...
Thank you, Father.
Alpine has been won, and you know, my play this year, this is the word that's been won ever since, you know, I came out of your womb. Thank you for everything that you do for me and my family, and to my father, I love you so much. I also want to thank to my coaches, my players, Coach Chizzy. I also want to give a special thanks to my teammates. Without those guys, I wouldn't even be here right now, you know, getting the recognition. Without their help, you know, I'm taking this award, and it's amazing what God can do in a person's life. Who would ever thought, you know, a person from College Park, Georgia, would get an award with such prestige and tradition. I thank God every single day for waking me up this morning and giving me the ability to play the great game of football. Thank you to so many people out there that I haven't recognized. I apologize if I haven't said your name. I really do apologize. And War Eagle.
And now to the NFL. We're going to swing over and check out our constituents over there at ESPN Radio.
Inside the Metrodome for the first time since these two fabric tears were determined to collapse the roof. Inside, yeah, there's snow scattered across the playing field. There are huge gaps in what should have been the roof, where the sunlight is now pouring in. It's freezing cold inside the stadium. And we talked to Roy Terwilliger, who's the chairman of the local sports association, and Steve Mackey, the director of engineering. They have no idea, no time frame for when this stadium will be usable again. And it's worth noting that not only were the Vikings scheduled to play the Giants here today and then postpone until tomorrow, but they're supposed to have a Monday night game here, their Vikings' last home game of the season, a week from tomorrow. The Vikings had actually wanted this game to be moved to the University of Minnesota and played outdoors, but they were told that the stadium had been shut down for too long. It'd take at least a week to get ready for an NFL game, and so instead the Giants get what they most desired, Boomer, and that's the game tomorrow night in Detroit at Ford Field.
This segment of sports is brought to you by the Help a Child Smile Foundation, the HACSF. That's www.hacsf.com. A nonprofit that reaches out to children's hospitals to bring a cartoon character or celebrity through the hospital for a child's very short stay or extended stay. They believe that bringing a child their celebrity or their favorite cartoon character will put an unforgettable smile on that child's face. The Help a Child Smile Foundation is a nonprofit and they need your donation. We're also brought to you by LPT Productions out of Greensboro, North Carolina. For all your motion picture production, screenwriting, film, sound, and video production, or any video needs you might have, make sure you contact Edwin Lewis and my man Cotton over there at LPT Productions, LLC. The number is 336-839-2236.
I also want to give a special shout out to another great charity that I had the liberty of speaking to the president about, was the Toms Family Company. I think that's right, the Toms Family, maybe Toms Family Company. Their website is thomsfamily.weebly.com. That's Thoms Family, FamilyWeebly, WeeBly.com. This charity here, folks, this is a Wilson charity only a Wilson, North Carolina-based charity only, and I took it upon myself to put this information out there to folks. Hang on, callers, just a minute. I'm going to get back into some callers in just a second. I'll be taking a 10th caller, 619-638-8559. Text it to everybody, let them know. I'll be taking callers. We'll be giving out some gift certificates here in a few. We'll also be giving out two tickets to that party that's been advertising with the Party Kings, D-Train and Franco in Wilson, North Carolina. But this charity, the Thumbs Family Company, pardon me if I'm not saying it right, what they do, they take your donations of your computers, your monitors, they rebuild them, refurbish them, get them running up to par, up to speed, and they actually bring them to your house. Y'all follow me? They bring them to your house, and they show your children how to use the computer the proper way. Okay? If you go to their website, it'll give you their mission, and I'll read it off real quick, to help children improve basic computer and educational skills by giving them the opportunity to own a computer and learn through practice with children's learning applications. How they work, they ask for donations of computer and computer parts. They fix the computer. They load it with software, people. This is no charge to you. $0 to you. They load it with learning applications. And lastly, they find a child in the area in Wilson, North Carolina, that needs that computer. So, in essence, if you donate that computer, you're donating to help another child. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm sure maybe if you wanted to contact them and get your child some extra help on their computer needs or their computer literacy, by all means, give them a shout out. Their donations of old computers, computer parts, or money goes directly towards helping the child own their own computer. Your donation will help a child directly gain basic computer skills and basic educational skills by giving them a hands-on approach to learning. That's the Thoms Family Company out of Wilson, North Carolina. You can hit them up at www.thomsfamily, T-H-O-M-S, family, that's one word, .weebly.com. I think this is a beautiful charity, man. There's a lot of people out there doing some absolutely wonderful things out there. We're going to go to another caller here. 336, you're on the air. Who's this? 336, you're on the air. Who's this? 270.
Hey, Paddy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. I was just going to leave this comment real quick, just put it out there and then get off. But me personally, I absolutely have no problem with interracial relationships. But right. Like everyone was saying before, love is love, so no doubt with that. But listening to the conversations growing up, it was like, you know, people felt one or two ways. And, you know, this is in various environments or whatnot. But they felt like it was a problem with a successful black man being with a white woman because it was thought that it was like they were ditching their wives that, you know, sacrificed for them because, you know, black women, they love their men. They
right.
Sacrificed for them, you know, loved them, took care of them for years on top of years. And I'm still Beyonce on this, but it felt like they were, the black men were upgrading. Like, the man was like, you know, I'm at this level now, but I'm going to go up one more level, you know, once I get with this white woman. It's like, you know, crossing over or something. But throughout the years, you know, I feel like, you know, women that the ones that, you know, have been ditched by these men, you know, they were passing on these feelings to, you know, the next generation.
Right.
And, like, you know, if they didn't feel that way, it felt more like, you know, with black people, they'll see the interracial couples, and they was like, you know, this person of this other race, they're not going to care for you like, you know, the women of our race would.
Right.
So, you know, it kind of felt like a stab in the back, you know. And it was like, you know, talking about earlier, you know, when these people that are in these interracial relationships, when they get into the heat of an argument,
mm-hmm.
like, what true feelings are going to come out then?
That's the
you
big
know,
question
when,
right now.
You know, when am I finally going to figure out how you really feel?
Well, that's the big question right now because, truthfully, I don't think that people really feel a certain way. Listen, if you marry outside of your race, I'm not saying you don't love that person. By no means at all. I understand that you do love that person. What I'm wondering is if you maybe were raised in a different light, would that slip of the tongue be relevant? I mean, would it be excusable? Would it be forgivable? If you were married to a white man and you know he comes from a different side of life, a different walk of life, but you love him and you know damn well that he loves you, but one day he slips out and call you a, not even a such harsh word, but what if he called you a black bitch? What would you say about that? And how would you feel about that? I'm sure it would make you feel different because he's a white man calling you that, more or less your husband, but a white man that is your husband. Would that make you feel different versus a black man calling you that? Or maybe one of your old black boyfriends calling you that?
To tell you the truth, I think it really would bother me. It would bother me just because, you know, even though I am in this relationship and I love this person and I know they love me, I still feel like, you know, like when I'm looking at them, you know, it's this white man that's calling me, you know, a black bee or whatever. So, yeah, I take it personal. So, you know, I mean, you know, and I would probably, me, knowing me, you know, I probably hold that in for a little while. You know, I think about that every once in a while. You know, when the next argument comes out, you know, I would keep thinking about that later on. Like, you know, I remember when he said this. Like,
right.
You know, that would come up later. So, yeah, that would definitely be a problem.
Let me ask you a straight-up question. straight up and down. And because right now this is not, well, I'll ask you a question in a minute. Right now, today, in today's society, I think it's not as much about black and white anymore. I think now you are seeing white and Asian, black and Spanish, Mexican and white, or Irish and this, yes, or this and that, and this and that. I mean, the sky's the limit right now. But
yeah, today's a different day. I mean, it's not like when back in the day when, you know, people were growing up then. It's totally different now.
Like, okay, so with all that said, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, like, you know, the kids now, you know, they don't even see it like that. I mean, you know, like, daughter, she don't see it like that.
That's interesting. I think the kids are the key, and that's why I wanted to have this topic. Thanks for calling, Carl. I'm going to move along.
All right.
But I think personally that the kids are the key. And hold on. All right, my producer's saying the next caller will be the eighth caller. The next caller will be the eighth caller and will win the two tickets to, let's see, the Christmas party in Wilson, North Carolina with the Party Kings, D-Train, and Franco. And you'll win a $20 gift card courtesy of, I'm sorry, folks, I'm reading. I was not prepared. A $20 gift card to Olive Garden. I don't know if you have an Olive Garden in your cities or wherever you are, but if not, maybe we can figure something different out. We can see a KRIP t-shirt or something of that nature. But the very next caller will be the winner and the recipient of the $20 gift card to Olive Garden. I'm sorry, and a KRIP radio T, and two tickets to the party event in Wilson, North Carolina. So I hope it's a 252 caller. If not, sell the tickets. But like I was saying, I think the kids are the key to fixing this thing. And we're really having this conversation, not to be on our jock and be like, hey, I'm not racist, you know, blah, 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 blah. But we're having this conversation to entertain the fact that it still exists. People are still racist. They say racist things every day in the media. They do racist things all day on Capitol Hill or in Washington. And we don't realize it. I think what needs to happen is we need to get over the fact that, hey, I'm a black guy. Or, hey, that white guy just called me a black guy. Or, hey, I just call that white guy, or whatever you might call it, or that Indian guy. Listen, man, if you're standing in a room full of Indian people and you're an Indian guy over there, I'd probably say, hey, that Indian guy with the black hat on, or maybe that guy with the black hat on. I don't know. Who knows how it might comes out. We got the next 2-5. Caller, you on the line. You are the eighth caller, and you win the two tickets. Who is this?
This is Niecy from Wide Awake.
Niecy, what's up, baby? You know you win it all.
Thank you.
You didn't expect to win anything, did you?
Did not.
That's all right. We got two tickets for you with the Party Kings, with Franco and D-Train on the 25th. You will hear the advertisement back and forth through the show. You also win a $20 gift card courtesy of Olive Garden, and you win a KRIP radio show t-shirt courtesy of Real Hot Records. You good with that?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, I want you to give your comment, and then I got to get you to stay on the line so we can get your information, all right?
Uh-huh.
I want you to please.
Is that what now?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, you talking about as far as interracial relationships?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I have a beautiful daughter that her dad is part, his dad is part white and Mexican.
Uh-huh. Right.
That makes my daughter, you know, part of all of that, part Mexican, part white, and black, because I'm a black woman. So I have no remorse for having my daughter.
Right.
Like I said, she is biracial, and I love her to death. So my comment is, I don't have no problems with it. But, you know, the things back in the day, but just like the young lady said before, you know, you get older and you get wiser.
True,
so
indeed, you get older and you get wiser.
Yes.
Well, how do you feel, how do you feel about that? Say if your child brings a different race home, I mean, I know you say you're good with it, but taking all things in context, you know, that we talked about, the getting upset and calling you out of your name. I mean, let's be real. Now, we get mad about that when your own race or your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother, your cousin, or anybody call you out of your name. But does it affect you differently when you're in an interracial relationship and they call you something out of your name?
Well, if it's going to be a continued thing, then, yes, it will be a problem. because I wouldn't allow, you know, my mom or my dad to call me out of my name for my husband, you know, that would be a problem, or a boyfriend,
right.
or, you know, however, that would be a problem.
Right. No
yeah,
doubt about
so,
that. I definitely understand. So one time is forgivable in your book, right, Niecy?
Right. It's forgivable one time, but once it's a continued thing, then, yes, I have a problem.
No doubt. Well, listen, congratulations on winning the prize package. Please stay on the line, and we'll get to you as soon as we can, or somebody will get to you and get your information
okay.
so we can mail your things out to you, all right?
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks for calling, Niecy. Hello, you on the line, 252. Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. You want to make a comment about these interracial relationships that we're talking about? Let the people know who you are.
This is Keisha from Wide Awake, just at a different number.
Keisha from Wide Awake on a different number. I don't recognize the numbers, baby. They just pop up here with flags, and they send them to me
no,
as they
I'm
go.
Just saying, it's just a different number. After high school, I dated a white guy. For one, I did it. One, because I liked them. Two, to see how people would react. My mom and my dad were supportive, but my step-parents were not. My stepdad was more so of what, you know, our ancestors had to go through or whatever. I tried to explain to him I didn't have anything to do with that. You know, that was my family before that. My stepmom was more so of who, you know, how would people say things, what people do,
right.
more so of my safety. Well, we dated for a minute. But the thing that broke us up was his mom. His mom, she was cool. She would give him the phone as long as I talked to him on the phone. Go to his house, I was a nigga. You can't have that nigga in my house. Or you
she
can't.
Actually...
Yeah, she came out and said it. You know, that's all you need to do. I got in my car and left. You know, are we going to still date? No, your mom, you can accept me, but your mom and your stepdad can't.
Damn!
I have a problem.
Okay, I understand where you're coming from with that, but, I mean, in essence, okay, that's one situation, but if you loved him, right, and if you guys loved each other, could you work through that in 2010, 2011, and so on?
Well, you know, my question would be then is if I was to have kids with him, how would you treat my kids? And
right.
to answer that question for that, for 2010, he has a kid with a black girl. That
right.
she doesn't have anything to do with. And me, it's all about family with me. I love my family. I mean, we might get on each other's nerves, but at the end of the day, that's my family. I have certain ones I deal with, but my parents, my
sure.
grandparents, my brothers and my sisters, that's all we have. We have each other. So
right.
it's no way in the world that I would sit here and have a child with this man and they can't interact with their paternal grandparents.
Wow.
I would have a problem with that because... My parents, even my great grandmother, go out of their way for my kids now. So, you know, to take them to their father's side of the family and they get no love, you know, come on. I don't even raise them. I mean, I have three boys, and
right.
I know eventually. I don't care who they bring home, as long as they bring a woman home. That's the only thing that matters. I don't care if they black, purple, blue, green. I don't care. As long as it's a woman, I don't care because
Ooh.
That's how my mom raised me.
Sure.
To accept everybody. Everybody has their faults. Everybody does this. Everybody does that. That's fine. But God said man and woman. And he didn't say what color, creed, anything else. So that's all that matters.
You definitely keeping it real with Pudgy. But all right, so let me ask you then, do you regret moving? Okay, I don't want to get anybody in trouble at home. I'm not even going to ask that question. I mean, that's
no, I mean, I don't, if it was regret not dating him, I mean, you know, right now we're still friends. We're cool. We see each other. We speak.
Right.
I speak to his wife. He speaks to my husband. He still talks to my parents because my parents race, and we're always at the racetrack. He races motorcycles. You know, I ride motorcycles. You know, that's how we do. We're still cool.
Right.
There's no animosity towards each other. And the thing about it,
no,
his parents own a performance shop. And
right.
when my dad was driving a race car, he had a certain gas. I had to go get that gas from them. They never treated me bad going in there. They remember who I was. So, you know, it was kind of, you know, do I speak? Do I do this? Do I do that? Me, I'm not going to mistreat you. I'm going to treat you the same way no matter how you treated me because that's how my mom raised me. I treat people the way I want to be treated. Now, could I go back and call her a white bee or whatever or do this? Somebody outside. I could do that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't do that. You know, I mean, I can be the bigger person. I don't have to stoop to your level to show you because you're ignorant. I have that ignorant with you.
Sure. Well, I'm pretty sure anybody over the age, it's not even an age thing. I'm pretty sure most people have dealt with some sort of racism. So I'm not going to talk about, like, anymore what we've been through or what happened or how this did that. I just want to ask you, did that sway your judgment on different races? Did that sway your judgment on dating different races?
Oh, no. No. I mean, even though he was the only one, but no, I mean, if it would have been somebody else before I got married, then, hey, it is what it is.
So you feel no particular way. I'm sorry. So you feel no particular way when you see, like, nowadays, like we were talking about before, I know a lot of celebrities are doing it, a lot of socialites are doing it, but when you see now more black women are reverting to dating white or other race of men, does that bother you to see that today? Do you think that's a turn of events that's going to maybe fix this thing? Or what?
You know what? It never bothered me because my mama always instilled in me it's a man and a woman, that the race didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love your mama.
I don't care if it was a black man dating a white woman or a white woman dating a Chinese man or whatever, as long as they were happy. You know, we don't know what goes on inside their house, but,
true indeed.
You know, as long as they were happy, that's all that mattered. And that's how she raised us to be. And for that, I'm thankful because that's how I try to raise my kids. I mean, you know, my kids, I got embarrassed about it the other day where they kept saying, well, that white man over there or that black man over there. But then my dad was like, get them. And I thought about it. I was like, for what? They're at the learning stage where that's what they have to learn.
Mm.
What is it? Like you said, a white man is a white man, a black man is a black man. I mean, it's really nothing you can do about it. They're
that's something.
The truth.
Yeah, that is truth in that, and that's something that I feel like we have to get away from is letting things like that bother you because you're saying that white guy over there, that black guy over there. Listen, that's so minor. Like,
right,
that should not really bother people to their soul. But what bothers me is when we cover this up and we don't address these issues and they go on and on and on. I mean, man, look around. The kids don't give a damn. You know, everywhere you look, there's a white kid hanging out with a Chinese black hood. They rocking skinny jeans, big jeans. They got tattoos and everybody is cool. It's a whole different wave of people who are linking together now and who are hanging together now. And I think it's a beautiful thing. But you always still have that old soul.
Well,
who
you
wants
know,
to raise their grandkids to hate a nigga or to hate a cracker. Because black people, y'all racist too. Let's be clear.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on one second.
It is.
Let's be clear. There's some racist black people out here too that teach their children, hey, the cracker did this or that or the other. And I'm keeping it 100. My kids, if you say a cracker around my children, they think it's time to eat something.
Right, right. And that's how my kids are like, you know, one little boy, and this is a first grader, called my son the N-word. So my son goes to tell his teacher, well, Mama, he called me the N-word and told his teacher, well, that's what my daddy said all black people are. And then my little boy, okay, he's mouthy. He really is, but he keeps it real, too. He said, my mama told me that a nigga was an ignorant person, so you're ignorant, and walked away.
Wow.
And this is a seven-year-old. So, you know, if this happened in the first grade, and like you said, it's something that you're teaching your kids.
Right.
And I would never teach my kids anything like that because, for one, you have to think about people. I mean, you always going to have people that are going to mistreat you, but because they mistreat you don't mean you have to mistreat them.
True indeed. True indeed. Well, Keish, it's beautiful talking to you, baby. We're going to move right along and get another caller.
Right.
Take care.
All right, I'll holler. Take care, you too.
Well, 252, you are on the – hold on one second. I got to get another 336 caller because I'm killing 252, and I got a lot of people locally who want to say something or, you know, who want to speak on their topics in the 336 area, too. And a part of them might be on the radio. So 336-41, you're on the line. Okay, I guess we just lost that call in the 336. I'll take another 336. Caller, you on the line. Who's this?
Hello, Pete. What's good?
What up? Who we talking to?
What up, Pete? This is Kevin, Frederick Douglass Foundation. How you, man?
We got the foundation in the house, man. I'm beautiful, Kev. How are you, brother?
I'm good, brother. Just leaving work, driving down the street now.
Oh yeah, man.
I want to call in and you know, say a little something on the topic if that's all right.
That's definitely all right, man. Speak your piece. We listening. You can learn something from this, brother.
A couple things I wanted to say about this topic is that I think it's becoming more and more acceptable as the celebrities, people that we see on TV or here in the news are doing more interracial dating. The president, he's interracial. President Obama, he's biracial. The president of the NAACP, he's biracial. You have 50 Cent that on and off with a white girl, Sanaa Lathan. So you get more and more celebrities that are coming out interracial dating, whether it's black, white, black and Hispanic. So I see that, and I think that, you know, it's becoming more acceptable. The second part I wanted to say was about the youth and interracial dating amongst the youth.
Right.
From what I see, a big part of it depends on where they go to school. If they go to school in predominantly black school districts, you won't really see them dating outside of their race. But
sure.
If the school system is more diverse, then you will begin to see more of interracial couples because there's more of a different pool of people to pick from.
Wow. I think that's heavy. I was researching myself and I saw a lot of socialites were dating outside of their race and having children outside of their races. And hell, Angelina Jolie, she's gonna adopt the United Nations if she keeps going. So, you know,
yeah.
I don't know what to be going on
her,
with that. You know,
Eve got her. You know, in the I don't know what nationality he is, but I know he ain't black.
Right.
You know, so I mean, I see a lot of, you know, like you said, socialites really, you know, dating outside of their race also, you know, because, you know, when you look to it, you know, at the end of the day, you know, there's only one race, the human race. We just come in just different colors, shapes, and sizes.
Sure.
But, you know, there's only really one race, and that's the human race. Because me personally, you know, I'm married now to a black girl, but I've dated, you know, whites, I've dated Hispanics, and coming from growing up in New York, you know, there's Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, all over the place. So,
right.
You know, we, I mean, I dated all of them, you know, and that's because, part of it is because of the type of school that I went to. I was open to, I was exposed to more whites.
Sure.
You know, so as I'm going to school, as my mother switched me from a predominantly black school to a predominantly white school, at first I was like, I never dated a white girl, but as I started being around them more, you know, my mindset, my views begin to change about them, and it was more acceptable, you know,
sure.
To me.
Kev, I want you to hold on for 1 second, man. We got a special guest. I want you to stay on. I'm going to leave you hooked on. I'm going to leave you on the line because you may want to, since you're in the Frederick Douglass Foundation, you may want to ask this great old school Democrat that we have calling here. It's actually a senator, and I'm about to put him on the line here. Senator Strom, are you there?
Is that keeping it real?
Yeah, this is keeping it real, Senator Strom Thurmond. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very fine. I want to tell you, Pudgy, you are a credit to the community. I want to give a shout-out to my main man, Mr. P. Real. Keep it real.
Appreciate that, Senator.
We're talking about interracial dating.
Yes, sir. We're talking about interracial dating. How you feel about that, Senator? How old are you? 100 and what now, sir?
115 years old, thank you very much for asking. Still feeling very good. Now, when it comes to interracial dating, I am all for it. People think that I might be against it. I am completely and totally for it, unless it is a black man with a white woman, in which case it is an abomination.
Senator Strong, you really got a way of putting your views across there, man. You're always in the public eye of scrutiny of somehow.
As you always know, I had quite a taste for the Nubian princesses.
So I hear that you have a few children out there. Senator Strom, I thought you were dead.
I'm still very much alive. It is a lie put out there by the liberal media that I'm dead. And the reason I'm still alive
He went Tupac.
That,
he went Tupac right
that,
now.
That, That's right. My new joint's going to drop on NBA All-Star Weekend, just like Tupac. That's when my new joint going to drop.
Senator Strong, what's the name of your single? I want to make sure that all the listeners can get your single, sir.
I'm on Real Hot Records, so just keep looking for that.
Where you shooting the video?
We're going to shoot the video. We're going to get that Vita Guerra girl and that Melissa Ford girl, and we're going to make that thing just blow up. It's going to make YouTube just blow the hell up. In any case, the reason I'm able to live so long is that when you have sex with Nubian princes, gives you great strength.
Oh,
gives
you
fantastic strength.
I happen to believe that too, Senator Strong. But you know, no disrespect to any other race. You know what I mean. But you don't like any other races though, Senator Strong? You're always talking about the Nubian princes.
Here's the problem that I found, and I'm glad you asked that question. It just shows you our credit to community. The problem now is, I don't know about you fellas, but I'm gonna keep it real. I've always been an ass man. Always. And what I find in America in 2010 is we are seeing the Hispanic women take some of that ass dominance away from the black women.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
Senator Strong, let's keep it real, Senator Strong. You've been known to be a very one-sided individual, but how do you feel about Michelle Obama?
Well, I'm glad you asked it once again, but it just tells me you know how to keep it real.
Keep it real.
I think whether we are Republican, Democrat, Socialist, whatever, we can all agree that Michelle Obama is hot.
No matter what your race is, she's hot, right, Senator?
Don't matter. If you're Catholic, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Pentecostal, we can all come together on the fact that she got it going on strong.
But you know what? I tell you what. You know what makes her beautiful too, man? It's not just it's her brain. That woman is smart, man. You know, and you know, not just physical, but intellectually, she's attractive.
If you say so.
You don't care, do you, Senator Strong?
Don't matter to me. It don't matter to me whatsoever.
And you know what, Senator? They all look the same in the dark.
That's right. When I get them back to the crib, I put them on mute, just like the TV.
Senator Strong, you a mess, man. I got to get you off here, man. But I really believe you're a racist, Senator Strong. Let's keep it real. Are you a racist, Senator Strong?
How could I possibly be a racist when I lay down with so many Nubian princesses? Ask me that.
Do you get them by will or you pay for them, Senator?
I refuse to answer that question on grounds that might incriminate me.
Well, listen, Senator, I appreciate you calling and coming back and speaking to President of the North Carolina chapter of the Frederick Douglass Foundation and on the Keeping It Real with Pudgy Radio Show. You got an open invitation to come on anytime you want to, sir.
Thank you. Once again, shout out to my man P. Real, and y'all keep it real with Pudgy.
Thanks, Senator. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Goodbye. That's Senator Strong Thurmond, folks. For you all who don't know who Strong Thurmond is, pull out your Google and pull out your laptops and Google that. We're going to go back to this party commercial, and I'll be right back with you.
Are you home for the holidays or looking for something to get into? Well, let's party. DJ and Franco. Party kings from Wide Awake Bar. That's right, this time in Wide Awake on December 25th. Wilson, Rock City, G Vegas. What about Goldsboro?
Don't you? This train called all the way from Wide Awake Wilson. I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I want to also invite you all to come out and party with me and my partner Franco on December 25th. Heels Restaurant, located on Highway 301 in Wilson. It's going down major, very grown, very sexy.
KIRP Radio, we are back. on the air, and we're doing what we know how to do best, and that is keep it real. We've been talking to several callers from all over the U.S., mainly on the East Coast, because that's what I cater to. You know, we got some California here, we got North South Carolina here, looks like we got D.C. here. Of course, D.C.'s in the house. Shout out to the WMMG 101.1 AM and FM radio. So your listeners who are listening on there, I really appreciate you guys for listening. Appreciate all the callers who's calling in. We're gonna go move along to asking the age old question: is interracial dating okay? And if it's not, why not? And at this point, I would like to know, how can we beat this thing? Like, how can we put this thing to bed? Because if you look at the kids today, the kids got to figure it out. And I think it's all in the nature of fun. The kids like to have fun. Like, you know, Senator Strom just called here, and I don't know if anyone got offended. I personally don't care. But we do that skit with Senator Strom, and we have Dan Rather come on, and, you know, well, we're going to have Dan Rather come on, and we're even going to have Martin Luther King come on, and a few other people come on to kind of make this situation light, because we're talking about some serious things here, and I hope people are taking this stuff to heart. I hope you are taking it and tomorrow be a better person with some of this information. I hope we're educating folks. I hope we're making people feel more comfortable with talking about the things that they don't like to talk about with maybe friends or family. If you're black and you got white friends and you love that friend and you know they love you and you know you guys are riding for each other, listen, man, sit down and don't be afraid to ask that question that you want to ask, because you may be enlightened. And the same thing goes for vice versa. This, any other race, if you got a outside race, a friend, sit them down and ask them, you know, the question that you really want to ask. Don't be afraid to ask a question. You never know. No question is a dumb question. You understand where I'm going with this? So this is where we are in this point of the show, and we're going to take another call. We can go back to the 252. Actually, this is 919. 919 caller, you are on the line with Pudgy.
That want to ask, because you may be enlightened. And the same thing goes for vice versa. This is any other race, if you got
I guess we got a delay going on here. I don't know what's going on with that, but we're gonna keep it moving, because I don't have time right now. We're about to close this thing out for the day, and I appreciate everybody calling in and listening and sitting down, giving their experiences, this, that, and the third. Next week we'll be talking about interracial dating again, because I don't feel like I got all the answers that I needed. I know a lot of you wanted to get out more information, wanted to get out, I don't know, more experiences or more advice, if you will, to the listeners on here. And, you know, right now I think this is a hot topic because, you know, you have a biracial president. You have a lot of socialites or celebrities dating outside of their race. You have people like Angelina Jolie who are an activist for right, in my mind. She's adopting the United Nations. So things are changing. The kids are changing. Our attitudes are changing. Our opinions are changing. Everything is love right now in my book. But I think there's still room for folks who need to be taught a better way, who needs to be shown that, hey, that black guy over there who's walking with those baggy clothes or those skinny jeans on or whatever is not a bad guy just because he's black. Or that white kid over there that's on the skateboard, and he's got tattoos all over him, even on his face, he's not a bad guy. You need to sit down and maybe take a second to listen to him. I don't think people are locking their doors as much as they used to lock their doors. And I remember walking by people and having them lock their doors on me. You know what I mean? And they're in the Cutlass, and I'm in the Benz, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, what's going on. You know, and this is in L.A., so this stuff is universal. It's not just in the South. It's not just East Coast or West Coast or in Europe or in this place or that place or the other. I mean, I know people in Mexico that say that the white people get harassed by the cops there. See, a lot of people don't know about that. If you don't know people out of your region, you're only accustomed to what you're seeing, and you only do what you normally do. Everybody has to be waking up sometime or another and be asked or be taught or be told to do something different. 252, caller, you are on the line. 252-304, you're on the line. Who's this? I'm sorry, caller. Go ahead. We might have cut you off here.
No, you told me to stay on the line. I was the one.
Okay, I'm sorry. I got the switchboard. Okay. Stay on, baby. Somebody get to you in just a minute. I apologize.
All right.
Let's go up top to the 401. 401, you're on the line. Who's this? All right, we got a whole string of callers, man. I'm just going to keep going until somebody want to say something. Let's see. Let's go out to the 210. 210, you're on the line. Who's this? Hello, 210, you're on the line. Who's this? Okay, folks, if you don't want to talk, let's hang up on them. If you don't want to talk, you know, don't push the button, and we'll just bypass you, and we'll keep going to other people. But I read off some staggering stacks earlier on in the show, and excuse me. And to me, this was enlightening that in the year of 1961, Virginia had banned mixed marriages. And so this started a big span of, and first let me say that the government stepped up and they did their part, and they righted something that was wrong, because in 1961 it was Loving versus VA. That's something that you could Google. 1958, Loving versus Virginia, that's something you can look up, with 1961 Virginia banning mixed marriages. These two people, Mr. Loving and Miss Mildred Jeter, had gotten married, a white man and a black woman, in Washington, D.C. They actually moved back to Virginia and were prosecuted on their return under a statute that said, in 1924, that said, an act to preserve racial integrity. We're so past that today, folks. We are way past that. In today's society, if you don't date outside of your race, it's because you choose not to. Or maybe someone outside your race is not your cup of tea, or I don't know what your reasons are, but today when we don't date outside of our race, it's solely a choice. Once upon a time, we didn't have any choice. You had to marry a black person if you were black. You had to marry a white person that were white, at least in most states, because it was law. So this got me thinking, you know, when I started researching this thing and I started reading this law that was an act of a law under the U.S. government, it got me to thinking, would more in the past, would more white men or black men or women marry outside of their race if it wasn't a law? Would we be ahead of the game now? Because we got a late start of this thing. So the curiosity in me made me wonder if we could have got more of an earlier start on this thing, where would we be today? And how much longer do we have to go before this thing is fixed anyway? Going back to the North Carolina, 910-506, you are on the line with Pudgy. Keep it real.
What's up, bro? How are you doing?
What's good with it, baby? How are you?
I'm good. This is Gwen.
Gwen, keep it real for us, baby. Tell us,
I'm
going to
keep it real for you, bro.
Thing. I know you
okay.
are.
Okay. This is my opinion.
Right.
Me, myself, I would not date outside of my race.
Okay.
I do not have nothing at all against it. I have several members of my family who has outside of race, you know, marriages. There are opposite colors of kids in our family, the whole nine, and
right.
I love them just the same.
Sure.
But society is just what it is. People are going to do what they do, be what they be, and it's just what it is. We don't have to accept it. Everything that goes on, we have to deal with it and just let it be what it is.
Right.
I mean, it's going to continue to be people judging. It's going to continue to be people who don't like different things. I mean, it's just going to happen that way. It's just always going to be that way. In some respects, it's going to get better, and some it's going to get worse.
I agree.
But it really ain't nothing we can do about it. It's going to be what it is.
So you think this thing will always exist? Do you think we will ever? You don't think we'll ever beat this thing?
I don't think we'll ever beat it. I really and truly don't, because regardless of what
I mean, it's going to be some years on end if it ever happened, but I really don't think we're going to beat it for the simple fact the way people are, the way they are raised, they're brought up certain ways to the point that this is what we believe. You know what I'm saying? And some people just will and some won't do it.
Sure.
And sure, I don't think it's going to ever, it may ease off, but I don't think it's going to ever change. It's always going to be somebody with their nose up in the air for some reason.
It's funny you say that, like, nose up in the air, because here's the thing about race that bothers me. And for the record, I think we're going to always have someone or some group of people that are racist, but I think they're diminished.
Oh, yeah.
I think those people are almost going into hiding in the woods where they belong somewhere, and I'm good with them being over there. You know what I mean? Like, you do your thing over there. You know, at one point in time, just a little while back, the saying was where they do that at. Well, they can do that over there, and I'm good with that. You know, I don't have a problem
exactly.
with that.
Exactly.
But let's say if your son brought a different race of woman in your house, and I know you said your family is good with that, how would you feel being from the part of North Carolina where you are, where I know for a fact there's still very avid racist people there, and some that are in your local government that are racist or that are said to be racist or make public racist comments? And trust me, I'll be down there to talk about that one day soon anyway. But how do you feel about that, knowing that the possibility of your son being hated on the other side of the family is could be true?
I mean, it's with our family, actually, we're open-armed to it. It really isn't no one that I know of that make it known. It's so much pretty much in my family and, you know, just so many people that we know. Like I said, from my household, it's not what I would choose to do. Right. I don't raise my kids to say don't date this person, don't date that person because of their race. But I do explain to them how I feel about things and how hard it is for children to be raised up if they're different color.
Right.
You know, I do explain that to them, but it's not that I just hate it. But the overall, I hate the point that we put the kids in that position. And then, you know, you have some look down on us because of it. You know what I'm saying? And our kids can become better than, you know, the white or the mixed or the just whatever. You know what I'm saying? So I just choose not. So I don't misjudge it. I don't tell them, no, don't do it. But I also explain to them, just because of culture, don't do it. You know what I'm saying? But I would definitely welcome and love them to death if that was the choice that they made and brung someone outside of the black race in my home.
Wow, that's B.I.G. in my book. I feel the same way. Thanks, Gwen. I'm going to get another call in here. We're running short on time, all right?
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, one love. So, I mean, I definitely understand where she's going with that. I think that you owe it to your children to explain what may happen and how some people may see, I don't know, how some people may view them because of whatever, because they're with a different race or this, that, and the third. And from where I sit, it's just a lot of white and black. But, man, there are a million different races out there. I mean, there are thousands. Literally, there are hundreds of different races out there or different nationalities or what may have you that date outside of their race other than white and black. And I find it funny in asking those people of, like, I asked some Asian descent people, which we'll talk about on the part two, is when we do part two, which is next Sunday, 8 p.m., we're going to talk about the interviews that I'm going to play. And I want you guys to comment on what you thought they meant by whatever comment or comment on, you know, their comments alone. But I find it interesting that even an Asian woman and a Thai man, when you ask them about interracial relationships, they even revert to white and black. And that was appalling to me because I didn't understand how two people from totally different walks of life from either one of us, when you ask them about interracial relationships, that they would speak on white people and black people. Another thing that bothers me is the fact that, listen, for you to be racist, you really got to have something in your mind that doesn't work or when, like when Gwen just said, nose up in the air, there's a difference in those people, because a racist person really truly believes this, unless you just have your different divisions of racism, But in my mind, a racist person basically believes these principles. You believe that because your skin color is a certain color, that you are better than, or you should be treated better than another race or the race that you're hating. You feel like you are a superior race because of the pigmentation of your skin. I don't understand that part. Caller, maybe you can enlighten me. I'm going back to the 919 to try to get this call again. 919, you are on the line. Who is this?
This is Rochelle.
Rochelle, how are you, baby?
I'm great. I'm from Virginia, and
right.
you were talking early about kids. They don't care about racism today. But in my community, I grew up in a very deep-rooted Dixie type of tradition, and racism is passed down through families.
Sure.
So my comment is that I think interracial relationships are beautiful. However, when white men have wanted to date me, they either do it because their parents don't approve or they want to date in secret because they think it's okay. If we date in secret, it's okay. But as someone who's very proud of my brown skin and doesn't feel that I'm better than anyone, just out of pride for my race, I don't think it's okay to date in secret or to think that you're better because of your skin color.
I think it takes a lot of heart for somebody to even come at you that way, to ask you, hey, let's, I mean, it's not something that they're going to ask. It's something that they're going to imply, of course, about dating in secret. I mean, has someone actually come at you like that and asked you to, let's not be so public about this thing? And how did that make you feel, if so?
Well, it was my freshman year in college, and I had been friends with someone for a very long time. And we decided not to date, and I was naive. We decided not to date because his grandparents were very, very racist, and he even told me that. But what did it for me is we were in the office one day, and he was kind of holding me by my waist. And when some white boys walked by, he quickly dropped his hand.
Wow.
And I told him, you know, if you can't love me in front of people, then we can't be together. And so it's examples like that, and I just have to grow up. And if you can't be seen with me, then you don't deserve to be with me.
I definitely hear that. You, man, I can't even imagine what that's like. Growing up, I dated a white girl before, and her parents found out, and they moved her halfway across the country. And I'm sorry, not halfway across the country, all the way across the country. So I don't know if that had anything to do with me or what she was like and this, that, or the other, but, hell, it wasn't even that serious, though, in my mind. I mean, we were kids, you know what I'm saying? But to be in college and have that happen when in college you're merely an adult. I mean, so you have a sense of independence when you're just starting to think for yourself, more so on the adult level because you're out of high school and you're kind of independent on taking care of yourself. So, you know, when somebody make a choice like that, I feel like that's solely their choice. But I know it has something to do with the way they were brought up because if not, they wouldn't think that way. You know, two pure kids couldn't think that way. Am I correct?
Right.
So I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just thinking that I think that if our job as youth, I'm only 23, and I think that it's our job, you know, when we have kids and our kids have kids, is that we stop passing that racism down or it's just going to continue.
True indeed. Wow. Thanks for calling, Michelle.
All right. Thank you.
Hope to hear from you another week. Moving on.
Definitely check it out. Get some videos and shout out to Mr. Thompson. I'm sorry, I got the wrong foundation here. I'm reading on Mr. Thompson. Send it to Thompson. He's going to kill me after you hear this. And he said, call him Mr. Thompson and whoever. But I'm a little bit nervous.
Trying to figure out what's going on with this switchboard. So, first of all, KRP Radio, keeping it real with Pudgy. I want to thank all my producers back there, my man Taliban on the boards. I want to thank Mr. Austin. Congratulations to Austin D. Wright for getting his bachelor's. All you college graduates, not to mean to cut my man congrats short, but all you college graduates, I think it's a beautiful thing you've done. Graduated from school, man, in my book, that's B-I-double-G. And keep striving, man. Maybe it's time to find a job. Maybe you guys will find a job and you'll get this thing going. It's P-Real, KRP Radio. We can go into a commercial and then we're going to do some final thoughts and then we out of here.
Are you home for the holidays or looking for something to get into?
Well, let's party. DJ and Franco.
Party kings from Wide Awake Bar. That's right, this time in Wide Awake on December 25th. Wilson, Rock City, G-Vegas. What about Goldsboro?
Y'all
do this train called all the way from Wide Awake Bar. I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I want to also invite you all to come out and party with me and my partner Franco on December 25th from 10 to 3 at the Hills Restaurant located on Highway 301 in Wilson. It's going down major, very grown, very sexy.
Closing out, final thoughts of the show. We're going to do a part two to this, folks. I know we had things scheduled for next week, but we're just going to have to put that back on the burner. Austin, I apologize, brother. You know I love you. That's the producer of the show. Austin, he's adamant about this political side of things, and we're definitely going to tackle those issues. But I got to say this. When it comes to race or religion, or a dispute, a fight, you know, anything in the world that causes this such of a stir up, I feel like one thing can conquer all of this. And as one caller said, personally, I don't think this thing will ever die, but I'm good with them being over there doing their thing. You know, you can take your hate to the woods and keep that hate in the woods. And I'm so good with that because I don't think that a lot of us want to dwell on hating the next race or not wanting to deal with the next race. But as I was saying, there's one thing that can conquer all of this, and I believe that thing is love. A lot of times you'll see on my Facebook page, I'll put, after I write something, you know, love is God is love, because I truly believe that, and I think that love will conquer all of those feelings and emotions that you have about or towards someone for your lack of understanding about that individual. And truly, I think that's what it boils down to. Next week we're going to tackle some of the things that we didn't get to tackle this week. We're going to go over some of the comments that I had walking the street. I actually walked through the street, and we got some video of this too. We'll post it on the YouTube page. If you go to youtube.com/KRP Radio Show, you can also catch us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/KRP Radio Show. You can also get us on Twitter at KRP Radio Show. You can find me on Twitter too, at NC Pudgy. Hit me up anytime, man. Ain't too Hollywood. I talk to people all the time, all day. That's just what we do. If you got any ideas for the show, flood us with them. Hit them up. Let us know about them. If you want to send us an email, it's krrpradio@gmail.com or CEORHR@gmail.com. We are out of here. Here comes the outro. I appreciate the love, everybody. It's been beautiful.
cake and all of this stuff. You know that? And then, looking at their sick,
hello? Hello, can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Hi, let me get your information, sweetie. What's your name?
My name is Alexandra Gear.
Alexandra Gear. Okay, can I get your address?
It's 903 East Nash Street.
East Nash Street?
Mm-hmm.
City?
That's Wilson, North Carolina.
Okay, Wilson, North Carolina. Zip code?
27893.
All right. Congratulations on winning.
Thank you. Look,
and stay tuned with us every Sunday.
I had no idea. Every Sunday, yeah, because I'm on Facebook. So, and he's, you know, Arthur Red is on my page. So I stay tuned in every Sunday.
That's what's up. You said you didn't have any idea what now? What were you getting ready to say?
I said I didn't have any idea that I was going to be a winner, you know, because I know he sent me, you know, sent me invitations to, you know, listen in, you know, so I've been trying to listen in, and, you know, all of a sudden, just tonight, I was just a lucky winner, so I am
That's
excited.
All right, well, I hope you enjoy yourself.
Tell some friends.
Okay, and thank you. You said what?
Where we at.
He said, make sure you tell everybody where we at.
All right, I will do.
All right, you have a good night.
All right, you do the same.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.